Okay, folks. We're going back to Frank's motion. Frank's not here. I guess we're skipping it. Frank Proto's not here, so we'll skip that motion. Okay. All right, you just let me know if you need. All right.
Okay, are you ready?
Okay, Frank, yeah.
I'd like to introduce an amendment, OTR number 82. It's on page, section 4, page 410 in your large book, Youth Services. This is to restore the state aid losses and our local dollars. Target money, $39,700. And I hope I get a second.
Second by Dooley.
Thank you.
Okay.
I had, if I could, Madam Chair.
Yes.
I had put in your folders a written description of what these programs are. These are not recreational programs. These are decentralized programs that help the youth that are struggling with academics and skills, social skills and whatnot. Some of them are in some is career counseling. You could read this as well as I can. I'm not going to read you the sheet. It was in your red folder. But the second piece that I wanted to draw your attention to is on the back of the written one. I asked Amy and JJ to based on what Don Barber had mentioned a couple of weeks ago, and then we heard it last week from several people that spoke, I wanted to find out how much each municipality was also putting into these programs. And you can see by the spreadsheet, every single municipality in the county is putting up their own local money into these programs. The JYC, Joint Youth Commission, that involves the city and the town of Ithaca. Is that right, Amy? Say that. Please come up and help me out, Amy.
The JYC is the town of Ithaca, the village of Lansing, and the village of Cayuga Heights. And so they work together around the city school district.
Thank you. The other item, and it was not included, which I'm sorry to say, we had municipal participation numbers for 2011. In youth development, and that's this sheet that I don't want to read you every number, but the number is over 2,100 kids that participate in these other programs, and they cover every town and the city. So the impact is quite widespread. Back to the numbers sheet a moment, you can see on that the individual municipalities are contributing quite a bit of cash on their own to sustain these programs. So the $40,000, $39,700 that we're asking for, or we hope to ask for, is going to support and will be spread over these individual towns. If you need an explanation as to how that spreading is done, and I want to reemphasize this is not the REC partnership, If you would permit me, Madam Chair, can you give us some idea how the 40-odd thousand, it's 30,000 because 9,700 is a different piece of that. So could you explain that one more time?
Sure. The 9,700 goes directly to the municipalities for their local planning groups to discuss how they're going to go into those municipalities. And we contract with a variety of service providers, but the lead service agency is Cooperative Extension's Rural Youth Services. The $30,000 goes to targeted intervention services, so they're above and beyond the youth development. These are services provided by Bridges for Youth and Families, their anger management program, 4-H Urban Outreach, who serves West Village Apartments, the Ithaca Youth Bureau Youth Employment Services, the Learning Web's SEEP Careers and Community Exploration and Apprenticeship Program, and the Learning Web's Youth Outreach, which is another runaway and homeless provider. So that $30,000 is split among those, and then the $9,700 is the reduction that was received from the state funding cuts to go back into the municipalities. One of the things that's not shown on your chart that some people have questions about are grants that those municipalities are writing. So when the funding was reduced 2 years ago, the municipalities have turned to a lot of grant writing, donations, and fees, and that's not listed there because they're not definite. But just recently, three of the municipalities were awarded a community foundation grant. So that was in the local paper recently.
Okay. Any discussion? Jim.
I am not going to support this. And the reason I'm not going to support this is it follows the pattern that New York State has done to every municipality in the state. COPA has lost aid. We picked it up. Youth Service has lost aid. We're attempting to pick it up. Other areas of the county budget have lost state aid, and some have been lucky enough to have someone on the legislature want to try to do it, pick it back up, and others have not. It follows the pattern of shifting costs from the state level to the localities. All of you are aware that Governor Cuomo sometime in the last 3 or 4 weeks was quoted as saying, look, the localities have to fix it themselves. If they go over the cap, so be it. Or if you want to get under the cap, you know, you got to fix it yourself in the localities. And that's sort of a harsh way of saying it's not my problem anymore. And I think for us to always or try to make up loss for lost state aid is we're heading into an abyss that we will never get out of, and they will not help us get out. We're very fortunate in this county that we've done several things over the past 2 or 3 years in keeping the budget pretty stable. As I read things on NYSAC website, other counties have spent all their fund balance. They're looking at 18% tax increases, and little programs that were usually funded by the state are just gone. They're not even having the argument about whether they should renew it or not. So I think for us to support this kind of thing, and Lord knows I'm an ex-teacher. I've seen some of these kids that they're talking about. I don't have a problem with towns possibly picking up a bit more money. There are some towns in Tompkins County who are pretty flush when it comes to having huge amounts of money in their fund balance, and it would be good to maybe spring a little of that money on the youth in their town.
Okay, we've got Peter, Pam, and then Dooley.
I'm going to propose an amendment to this, and the amendment that I'm going to propose is to reduce it from 39.7 to 9,700. And I guess I have to wait for a second for that. So.
Just to be clear, so that means leaving in the 97 for municipalities,
yep,
to the cooperative extension. And that's a second, Pat? Okay.
So let me just say that that the last budget, I've now been through three budget cycles, and the first one I couldn't make head or tail out of, and the second one I understood better and was not very happy about it. But the third one I felt pretty good about. Not necessarily the outcome, but the way we did it and the way it worked together. And I saw people doing to the best of their ability to make the compromise between not wanting to not wanting to increase the property tax rate, but on the other hand, cognizant of the various difficulties that that would be felt by our constituents if we didn't. That tension I saw going on a great deal. I didn't agree with everything that got said, but it looked to me like we did the best job we could of doing that. And my own feeling was that we shouldn't really have a process for changing it after that, after the committee had come to a conclusion. But I understand that that we do. We have such a process, and people can introduce whatever they want. I came, after that last budget meeting, I came prepared to vote no on everything that got proposed at this meeting because I liked the previous process and decided I wouldn't do it unless I heard something really compelling that made me want to change it. And I heard something really compelling at the public hearing. At the public hearing, there was a plea made for this giving about $20,000 to the youth programs, and it sounded genuine, and it convinced me. And then there was a man there who felt so strongly about it that he said he was going to give $10,000 to the municipalities if they, I thought it was a matching grant or something like that. And having heard that, I decided, boy, I was going to introduce $9,700, more or less, as a as an increment to the, to what we had done. I think it's important, actually, to at least give some indication that we listen to what people say at the public hearings. So with all of that, that's why I'm moving to make that change.
All right. Well, I had Pam and Dooley, so let me see.
Go ahead with his amendment.
Right, but if you, I want to give you first dibs if you want to talk about the amendment.
Well, okay. I guess it's all one piece, really. I do not support taking this down to 9,700, and I do not support not supporting it at all because I think. Because I think that Jim is right, that the state is being irresponsible and harsh in the way it's cutting these programs. And I just can't take that same tack. I think that these are incredibly important programs. I think these programs save us money and on so many different levels. I just can't imagine why we wouldn't support it. So I will neither support the $9,700 amendment nor the cut to zero that Jim has recommended.
So you would support the original amendment?
That's right. I'm sorry. I support the original amendment that Frank introduced.
Okay. Thanks very much. So, and I'll go to Dooley and then Leslin and Carol.
Well, I'm impressed that some people moved Peter's hard heart to but the $9,700 doesn't make it for me, so I won't support his amendment. Just because New York State is being somewhat irrational on how it looks at its future doesn't mean that we shouldn't fill in to protect our own youth in our county. They're the ones who will be hurt, and as Pam indicated, it will cost us much more down the road if we let that happen. So I am opposed to the amendment that Peter has made.
Leslin.
Yeah, sometimes our young people are the ones who don't always have the wherewithal, the means, the voice to say what it is that they really mean and to what it is they need and to be able to influence votes and decision making. Other times they're able to. When we're at this level, we listen to the people who share with us the importance of supporting our youth. We listen to the testimony from our youth and from the folks who work with them about the benefit of these programs to them. And yes, Jim, I'm right there with you. I shudder when I saw the Restore State. I said, oh, can we not say that? Because it's too often that we have to restore what the state did at the expense of our taxpayers, and then we have to answer those questions. But at the same time, we know more than anyone else, and we're closer to the folks who we serve and know what those needs are.
and how to avoid certain situations, how to support and promote others that are beneficial. Youth is something we definitely should be investing in. And too often they become sort of the low-hanging fruit because their power of voice is not at the table in their youth necessarily. Although I don't feel like I can support a full $39,000, I came in here prepared to offer something, and I don't know if they can be an amendment to the amendment. No.
No, but if you're saying you'd like to suggest a different number after this is dealt with.
I most certainly would. But my question is, I have a question for Frank, or maybe it's Kevin, I don't know. It says that this is section 4, page 410. And these are the programs. I think there were five programs and two were consolidated when Amy was, when we were going through a budget. Is this the same thing we're talking about with this money? This is what we're referring to.
Yes.
Thank you.
The answer is yes.
Thank you. I just want to make sure it wasn't a different page, because the only place I saw state aid cut was the other page. So I'd like to offer a different number. I can't support either one of those that are under the table right now.
I think you have to wait for this.
I know. If you just withdraw yourself.
Carol.
Withdraw mine?
So, several things to say. One, I would like to approach this that we are supporting our youth,
yes,
rather than restoring lost state money, because I would like to support our youth regardless. So is that a friendly change?
Sure.
Is that a support youth service? Is that friendly to the...
Oh, friendly to me,
yeah.
Dooley seconded.
Dooley did.
Yeah, Dooley agrees.
So,
oh, sorry. Did anybody hear that?
Yeah, we did.
Okay, sorry. So that's the first thing. Then I also agree that with Jim that it is awful for the state to be pushing these costs down on us, and that as a principal, we're not looking to pick up every single cost that the state sends down to us. But I can't tell that to this year's youth, this year's youth that are eligible for these programs, to say to them, sorry, your year doesn't get the money. I mean, I'm hoping that by next year we can convince the state to restore this money to youth, of all things. But it just, that's not where I want to cut. Process-wise, I would hope that people would at least support Peter's $9,700, and I would have preferred to see that as a backup, separate motion in case the full amount doesn't pass. I would like to suggest that those of you who are looking for another number, that if you took the $9,700 for the Cooperative Extension Program and at least took half of the other, you'd get to $24,700. So there's a number. But I'm not going to propose that because I support the full amount. But I'd like to see us take this in reverse order and see if we can get to the full amount and see what we can do, if not.
So, Peter,
well, we have what we have. So we have what we have. So I think several people have said they're going to vote against this because they want to support a higher number. But people can vote against it for whatever reason.
Yeah, I'm talking on the full thing. So I'm not in favor of Peter's, but I don't like the order in which we're doing it, because I would at least support 9-7 if we don't support
well,
the whole
well,
thing.
We this is where we are, and we've done this before where, you know, This may fail, and then we try the higher number, and that fails, and
so
then, well, we'll
process,
go back to 97.
Yeah, process-wise, if we defeat 9-7, can we still come back to it?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Thank
you. We can do that all night if you want.
Point of order, if 9-7 wins, there's nothing against making another motion to say increasing it to 15, for instance.
That's true.
People should know that, okay?
Okay, so with all those complicated dynamics, are we ready to vote? On the amendment to the amendment, which is to change that number to 9,700 instead of 39,700. All in favor of that amendment, please raise your hand. Opposed? That fails at 3 to 11. So we are back to the full 39-7 is on the table.
Is this a place where I can offer an
This would be a good place. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. I like good places.
All right.
So going back to motion way back in our process, I'd like to amend that motion to add $20,000 to for youth services to the youth department budget.
Okay, so you're changing that language, and now the number is 20,000, right?
Correct.
Instead of 39,7.
Instead of 39,000.
Not in addition. Okay. So the number is now 20. Could you be clear on where it goes?
Priority number 4, whatever it is, the OTR on page, section 4, page 410. OTR, what's the number there, Kevin? 82?
82. Okay, but there's a different program slice
I'm
up
not.
There. This would be undesignated to youth to figure out
yes.
where their priority is.
Yes.
Got it. Is there a second for that? That fails for lack of a second. So we're back to the 39-7. Is there any discussion? All in favor of supporting youth services with an additional $39,700, please raise your hand. Opposed? That fails 7-7. Pam?
I would like to move that we add...
30,000.
Do I hear? 30,000 to youth services. Seconded by Frank. And do you have a designation as to which?
No, point? I think we should leave it up to the people at the youth.
Very competent
okay.
folks department.
All right. Any discussion? Jim.
I have a question. I spoke to Amy just in passing. What happened to the $10,000 from the back of the room at the at the public hearing budget meeting?
He moved out of the county.
Amy?
Did we hear from him?
We followed up with him and do have a meeting to discuss that, but at this time it's not a reality. So we are following up with him to see what his idea was behind that.
Frank and then Brian.
Yeah, Jim, the very next day I called Kevin and asked him to do exactly what Amy just described, to see if it was a bluff or if it was for real and was it something we could count on. So I'm glad you have a meeting with him, Amy.
Brian?
It is something we can count on, you said?
If it's something we could count on.
My recollection to his comments were... that it was kind of earmarked towards the town of Newfield. Although when Peter was talking, I thought he was working himself up to a crescendo of offering 10,000 of your own. I mean, that's kind of thought where I thought you were going with that.
What makes you think I'm finished?
Okay. That's cool.
Break down the trumpet.
Yeah. Okay, Jim, did you have something else to say about that?
Well, I would suggest that you put $10,000 earmark in the contingency fund and then match it up with the outside 10. But if it's going to be money that's only going to go to one area, then obviously I could not do that.
I would also point out that even if that does come through for this year, that what we're talking about here is target money, and it's a pretty big leap to talk about an annual contribution there. Pat?
I wonder if we could clarify whatever number we're talking about now. Where are we?
$30,000.
Because the reason I ask is because my understanding is that this 39-7 included two OTRs. One of them was for $30,000 for agencies. The other was for $9,700 for municipalities. So I'm wondering if that 30,000 proposal is to all go for one OTR to the agencies, or was it whether it's intended to be shared between the two OTRs? Pam?
Well, Amy, can you help me out here?
Two OTRs.
Sure. I think what the proposal on the table was the two OTRs combined, so the 30,000 would go to both. I mean, there some of this is state funding cuts, but the department took on some of the other state funding cuts. The state funding cut was over $53,000, and so we took in some of that and reduced some of our funding streams. So some of this funding actually helps to restore some of these programs that have been cut again, again, and again. So if it were the 30,000, it wouldn't go for those restorations. It would go for the some of the cuts that have occurred and then look beyond that. I can use the 4-H Urban Outreach Program as an example. They were here last time talking about operating it 2 days a week versus to a more full-scale program. That is at their 2012 level that they're operating it 2 days a week. So that's how we would look at it, is where the highest need priority is.
So, just
Leslyn had her hand up.
I did, because now you all are confusing me. That's why I asked the question about what OTR are we talking about, and now I'm hearing that we're referring to two OTRs as opposed to one.
Yeah,
we've
done this in the past. Where
I didn't ask if we did it in the past. I'm just asking, what are we talking about? OTR 82 or 82 and 83 and 84? What is it? That's all I need to know.
My sense is it's approximately 75% of the two OTRs combined. And it's up to the Youth Services Department to determine how that goes. So, let's see, could we have another amendment to the amendment? Yes, this is the First Amendment. So, if you wanted to say, make something more specific and say, I would support that if it's 30,000 to go to this one, or split, make it more specific, that's another motion we could make.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Or we could just vote.
Frank. But right now, it's 30,000 to the division of which is to be determined between the two OTRs by the Youth Services Group. Got that right, Amy?
I believe so. I think that it is two pages. It's two OTRs. I think it's 82 and 83 that were combined together.
Right. Thank you.
Thanks. All right, ready to vote?
Sure.
All in favor,
please.
Can
you repeat the question?
The motion is to add $30,000 to Youth Services to be spread according to the priorities of the department. Between those two OTRs. All in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed? That passes 10 to 4. All right, so 30,000 to Youth Services. Next motion on the list, Frank Proto, Soil and Water.
Let me make a note. Excuse me. What was the vote on the last one?
10 to 4.
Thank you. You've seen the next one before. I'd like to move OTR 71, page 5, section 5, page 57, the Soil and Water District for the hydrilla eradication of one-time money for $40,000.
Is there a second? Seconded by Pat. Jim.
I am going to vote no on this, and pretty much I'm repeating my same arguments, except that I believe the state has already taken responsibility for funding this project, and I think we're waiting to hear how much they're going to fund it. And if we put $40,000 in our budget, that's going to be $40,000 less than they would be obligated to pay. And I know that other people have better information than me, but clearly it's it needs to be done by New York State, not by Tompkins County.
Frank and then Peter and Pat.
Jim, once again, that seems to be the tone of everything that we don't want to fund, that it's up to the state. You're absolutely right. We heard at the Water Resources Council last night that the $750,000 grant that was applied for was finally signed. The clarification on how much is going to come to the hydrilla, Craig Scott really didn't know. He said there might be some that would restore. The $40,000 is to reimburse the Soil and Water District for work that it has completed and paid for out of its own pocket. There's been some concern about cash flow, and they can't continue to work for free. I don't know anybody that can. But he wasn't sure. Dooley, you were at the meeting yesterday. He wasn't sure how much of the reimbursement would go for this. The treatments, the sheet that we got, the individual treatments are in excess of there's six figures every time they have to do a treatment, and I think they've done three.
We're talking about staff time in the Soil and Water
correct.
District, right? Not all the other expenses.
That's correct. Part of the problem that part of what they've incurred is that the reimbursement, if they get any, often lags so far behind that they're operating out of their savings account. In this case, they don't have a savings account. I would hope that because of the importance of the lake and the inlet and the treatment, that you would support, if you can't support the $40,000, perhaps someone could offer another number, but I think they're certainly entitled to get reimbursed for their time.
Peter and then Pat.
Well, I think the hydrilla thing is extremely important, but somehow I think this is the wrong way to do it. I think that when we run into emergencies, our county administrator will bring ask us to give certain amount of money out of the contingency fund or out of reserves because a special unanticipated need has arisen. And I assume that would be the case, that something like this would be, we would supply the money. But I don't think it ought to be done on what we think, what legislators think is probably going to happen or something like that. This just doesn't feel like the right way of meeting this kind of unanticipated need.
Pat?
Well, a couple things, and I may not be totally correct about this either, but in partly in response to what you said, Peter, one reason that this would not have gone that direction to the county administrator is because the Soil and Water Conservation District is a separate agency. It's not part of the county mechanism for budgeting and funding and so on. Has its own mechanism, so that wouldn't have happened in this particular case. But I thought I recalled at one of our previous meetings, and maybe this has been changed because of more recent information, but I thought that I recalled that we were told that when the hydrilla was discovered, there was a very important need to jump on it as soon as possible. So people, including Craig, came together, a task force came together to attack the problem immediately. And it's at least in part because of that immediate response, without knowing where the funding was going to come from for reimbursement, that we've been able to be as successful as we have locally so far, keeping our fingers crossed. But and that once the state was asked to provide funding, that the indication from the state was at that point that they would not provide funding for any expenses prior to when they made the decision to start, to help provide funding, that we were not going to be able to go back and ask them for money for what we had already done prior to that date. Now, that was the understanding that I went forward forward with when we decided to come and bring this to the county is that even when we do get that money, whatever money comes for the work that's been done, it's not going to predate, it's not going to include funding that predates the state decision.
I have a couple of questions and then Pam. This was a this was an OTR requested by the district to and its budget request to you, Joe, right?
Yes.
So it went through our process and you did not approve it. You didn't include it in your budget.
That's correct.
Okay. Would you mind just telling us what your thinking was?
Yeah, really two things, and they've already been addressed tonight. One is this is really a state responsibility. And I think we as a county have done a pretty good job in educating the state about its responsibility and went to bat. And Frank and Pat talked about a $750,000 state grant. I think that's in large part because we did team up and led an effort to get state money to pay for it. And a part of that process was to let the state know this is really a state issue that you need to address. So that's number one. Number two is the county's role here, and it's an infant role. I mean, this has only been a problem for the last 2 years. Has been a funder, call it of last resort, where you recall that when the weed first began to appear in the inlet and nobody else was able to come up with resources to do that initial treatment, the county came up with $26,000, maybe even a special meeting because of the urgency of the situation, which is a role that I presumed we would continue to serve. So if it was found that this problem needed some help from the county and it could be quantified what that need is, that my sense is this legislature would be receptive to a request for a draw on contingency or even reserves within reason to be able to provide that support. So in terms of my thinking and putting the budget together, that was my thinking.
Now, to follow up, I the district, do the staff at the district only work on soft money? In other words, do they only work on a, now you've got two board members and Joe, maybe David can help. Do they only work on things as grant money comes in to support their salaries, or is there a baseline budget? I actually don't know.
There's a baseline amount that the county provides in support each year, and we're doing a lot of work right now to help to answer, better answer the question that you're asking, Martha, because part of the salvage should be able to be paid for by the grants, charged back to the grants. But my sense at this point, when we get it all sorted out, is that the grant funding is not going to totally cover the salaries. Right now, the county provides, what, $104,000 per year toward operational costs of the district. And a good share of that goes toward salaries beyond what can be covered by the grants.
Okay, so let's say if this were Craig Scott's time that we're talking about, I think he was the main person, mm-hmm. He was paid his salary, and instead of doing something else, he worked on hydro, and he was paid his salary that is supported by baseline county funding. And he just didn't go hire somebody else for $40,000, correct?
No.
Correct.
No, excuse me. The woman who's up there, Angel Hinkle,
uh-huh.
She is the person who's devoted the lion's share of her time.
Oh, that's true.
To the hydraulic.
But he didn't go hire her to work on this. This is part of the...
She's part of the district and does other things too. However, because this took on a life of its own the last 2 years, she has devoted most of her time to this because of the critical need. Just a reminder, too, the city has just basically assigned Roxy Johnston to this particular project, and Roxy has taken this on. She is the engineer, I believe, at the city water treatment plant, and the city's contribution, because of the time that Roxy's devoted, is enormous as far as cash contribution and one of time. And I think you were at a TCOG meeting where Roxy spoke about the breakdown. So
yes, and I was completely unsatisfied with the description of how the money was used and allocated, and I just can't support this at this time. So, I'm happy to have the additional information because I have been pretty confused about their budget. Pam and then Dooley.
Yes, I'd like to move that the amount that we provide it be reduced to $15,000. And I guess if we were talking about moving forward and asking the Soil and Water District to, you know, if they were asking us for money for work that they anticipate doing, I would not support it. But the fact that this money was spent right at the beginning when it wasn't clear that we were going to get state money, that this was, you know, this was really a large chunk of it, of time was taken out of a very small staff. And it feels as if we should make just some gesture towards this in terms of the effort that they put in, because I believe that they actually did put in a fair amount of effort on this. So I move that.
Okay, is there a second?
How much was it?
15.
I'll second that.
Okay, Dooley?
I would be much more comfortable voting for something if I had seen a clear accounting of how time was spent, what the money went for, and I haven't really gotten that from Soil and Water. I haven't asked for it because I understood that their budget and accounting processes were under review, and I figured that hasn't been finished yet. So I don't feel prepared to support this. If there is a clear accounting of money that we probably should backfill for them, I would support that in the future. So I guess I'm in the odd position of, number one, being very supportive of the Soil and Water Conservation District, but number two, not being prepared to vote for anything tonight. I would support a future draw on our contingent fund once there was a clear accounting available to us. So I'm a little bit where you are, Martha. Not that I think... I didn't hear Roxy do a very thorough summary. It's thorough but not detailed, and it's the details I'm interested in. Jim?
Is anyone going to go hungry if we didn't put this money in? Is there someone not going to get paid in Soil and Water if this money is not there?
Frank?
Well, I don't know quite how to answer that. The detail that Dooley is asking for was sent to us, Pat and I. The time that Angel Hinkle has devoted is 682 hours. The time that Craig has devoted is 336 hours. And I can provide you with a copy of what they sent us as to the breakdown. I think it's kind of harsh to ask if anybody's going to go hungry, because they have other things that they do for the $104,000. They perform other tasks that are being reimbursed for. I doubt that anybody's going to have not be able to put food on the table. But I know that some of you are aware that we've been involved in identifying ways that the Soil and Water District can become, I guess, I don't want to say profitable, but at least break even. And you can't, even a teacher can't work for free, Jim. And I think these people have worked for free. And they're entitled, as Pam has said, to some sort of reimbursement for their time. I wasn't at the presentation that Roxy made. I don't know what the quality of that was. I do know that on the WRC, Roxy is quite eloquent, and she does very thorough work when she does it. what her presentation consisted of, I honestly don't know.
But I think, Jim, you weren't finished, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and then
Frank,
Will.
My point is that it's a department, and, you know, I've heard dancing around, we're we're trying to figure out how to make this profitable and all that. Well, then when you figure that out, then you might want to come to the county legislature and say, we need $40,000 to help us along the way. You know, at this point, I will not support any money for this organization. The planning department gets asked to do things midstream. They have to take the people they have and then shift the responsibility to do something. The sheriff's department, you have to shift your responsibility. I think the word is nimble. These people have to shift their responsibility, and when I hear the results, then I will support something for them. But at this point, I am not going to support, and I don't think anyone else should.
Will.
So just to be clear, Frank's motion is asking.
Pam's
pardon me. Okay, I'm sorry. This is 15,000 addition to the target. But this is purely one time, so it's backfill.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. I think maybe we're ready to vote. I'm going to say I would support 15 for the sake of comedy, I guess I would say. C-O-M-I-T-Y. But maybe C-O-M-E-D-Y also. I don't know. So the motion is to put one-time money of $15,000 into the Soil and Water Conservation District for hydrilla work. All in favor, please raise your hand.
I have a process question. Are we voting to amend Frank's initial motion?
Yes.
And then we would have to vote on
yes.
the motion?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. All in favor of that amendment? Please raise your hand. One, two, three, four. Okay. When I say raise your hand, that's when to raise your hand. Okay. One, two, three, four. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Opposed. Hope that's 3. 11 to 3. That's the new motion in front of us, 15,000. So I hope we don't have to discuss that anymore. All in favor of $15,000 to Soil and Water, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That passes 8 to 6. Okay. All right. Let's see. We are up to, I think, Dooley Kiefer Facilities. Right? Ah, yes. All right.
That one-time money.
That was one-time money.
I just want to alert you that in addition to this, I want to do a revisit to the sustainability planner question. So I will go to facilities. You have seen Arel provide charts and graphs that show how our square footage has grown, but our cleaning staff has not grown. And at the previous expanded budget committee meeting, there was a 6-6 tie about adding another cleaner. So I thought it made sense to bring it back to a more complete legislative group. I want to move the amount that's here for a cleaner position, assuming that 41,728 is the correct number.
Yes.
And say that Arel has been out of commission for part of our budget season. He's here tonight. When he showed up at the expanded budget committee meeting, he did say that this is something he would be asking for next year. He had not asked for it this year. But I have to note that the new building, HSA, will be open, and there will be that much more square footage in 2013. So waiting to 2014 to add a staff doesn't make sense to me. They're behind now. They really need another cleaner. So I'm moving this.
Second by, I think, Carol, you had your hand up to second it before? Okay. Brian and Pam, did you want to speak?
No.
Okay. Brian and Carol.
Thanks. Hi, Arel.
Hi.
How are you? And I remember that exact smile, the last meeting that we had when somebody mentioned this. And it was like a, you know, one of those extra gifts at Christmas that you weren't expecting, and it was great. I also remember at the time, I asked you a question in terms of, we see the charts every year in terms of added square footage and that sort of stuff, and that's not in dispute. But I was asking you things like technology in terms of cleaning equipment and, you know, so on and so forth. And I do remember that bit of discussion, and I also remember you saying, yeah, I think it's time that we sit back and look at some of that stuff, much like we do from time to time on a lot of different things. Unless I'm totally mistaken, I think that's the way it went. Having said that, I welcome that. I do not, at this point, welcome a new FTE. That didn't come from you to begin with. I'm not sure that any of us are qualified to make those sorts of assessments and decisions and so forth. Just on our own, which I recall that being the way it happened. But I do welcome, and I hope we do have a new cleaner once we sit back and do a full assessment of everything. And if that's what it calls for, then that's what it calls for. But at this time, I won't be supporting something like this.
Carol, did you have your hand up to speak?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, and then Jim.
So first I'd like Arel to have the opportunity to let us know whether he needs the position.
Arel?
Oh, well, I'll preface it by saying this. I think Arel has always been a really good team player. And when Joe says you got to rein in the budget, Arel agrees to do that. And out sick, it's even easier to just go with the flow. But over the course of time that I've been on the county legislature, I have noticed that our buildings are not as clean now as when we started. And I don't think that's because Arel is not managing staff. I think it's because there's more to do. And I do agree with Dooley that when the new building comes online, that's even more to do. So I would like to at least consider maybe have the start when the new building comes online, so that it's not a full year. But Arel, could you comment a little bit on how you're planning to cover the new work and whether you think you're covering the work that we've got already?
Well, yes, I am a team player, and I did not ask for this additional staff person because I knew it would be a difficult budget year. But if I was getting a lot of pressure from staff because they were asking, how are we going to cover yet another new building beginning of the year? I mean, we'll be moving in at the Human Services Annex. Our hope is beginning of January. So that question was asked. And so what we're going to have to do currently with the existing budget is we're going to have to pull people from other buildings to cover a new building, which we've been doing for the last 12 years. The last time we added staff was when the new library came on board. So it's 12 years. We've added 102,000 square feet, and we've not added staff. We've added the Emergency Response Center, the Public Works Facility, the Mental Health Building, which at the time was contracted out. We basically, because of cuts, we terminated our contract with Challenge Industries and picked up that building with the existing staff, and now with the Human Services Annex Building. So we've not added staff. And, yes, I'm being a team player, but if you asked me if we need this position, my honest answer is yes. But I didn't propose it in my original budget. I won't turn it down. But this next year, 2013, with the budget as it currently stands, it's going to be a challenge to clean that building. We're going to have to pull staff from other buildings. So those buildings will suffer as we try to cover this additional building. We've added, 48% more square footage since 2000 with not one increase in staff. But it's gotten to a point where we're at the tipping point. We can't cover additional square footage without significantly impacting quality. One legislator during the break says, well, if it gets churned down, what could we do? We would have to look at how we would accomplish that.
I think what we would do at present, if it doesn't get approved, at least for 2012, is we would cut back on some of the services that we provide, more likely the frequency of what we do in certain buildings, so that we could cover that the additional building. But as I said before, most definitely next year, I would come forward with a request for an additional staff person.
So the 41 is salary plus fringes, right?
Yes. It's a 35-hour position.
Okay. I've got Jim. You're following up? Okay.
So can I ask, Kevin, is that figure up there, does that include this new proposal or not?
The 3.88 includes a cleaner, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Jim and then Leslie?
No, I'll pass.
Leslie.
That was my question.
All right, Earl, you are definitely the man. My dear Brian, I actually feel that we do have the capacity to sit here and make decisions about any number of things because we get those presentations from our department heads. We see the things and we make the decisions based on what we see. We do it for other places. We just did it for youth services. We do it for many other things that we fund based on what we are told and based on the presentations. We've been, like Dooley said, seeing what Arel has been presenting to us year after year, and yes, he's very modest and, you know, trying to go with the flow of what we have. I brought this forward at our expanded budget committee meeting, this position forward, although Arel didn't ask for it, because as a policymaker sitting here, there was a clear need in the charts and the graphs and everything else, the lovely ones that he presented to us. But also, just from a sense of understanding the impact on our other cleaners, our employees who are there, who have to do so much more and feel like folks are not really and not a realm, like, because they're talking to him and he's doing his best to advocate, but that we who are sitting here are not really paying attention to what they are going through when we just keep adding and adding to what they have to do, but not increasing the personnel to be able to cover it. So, I mean, they're not, you know, Elastigirl and Elastiboy that they can just stretch continuously. So we need to make those decisions, and I feel as a legislator, given the information I'm provided, very competent to be able to say, yeah, this is a place where we can add a body to. There's some other places I'll take away some bodies from, but, you know, the votes aren't there. But this is a place that I feel that we should be. We're adding lots of buildings, and we're not adding people to clean it. And we're seeing what's going on in our buildings. And yeah, we're doing with less cleaning. I understand that. You know, we can do it some, you know, less cleaning for some places because they're not here to do it. But if it continues like this, it's just going to be just bad all around.
Jim, Peter, and then I have a question.
Yes. During the budget process, I did not support the $46,000 for the mental health department because the department head did not ask for that position at the time. Arel, of course, did not ask for the position, but I have more sympathy for that position particularly because, in fact, we are going to be going into a new building and we're going to have to have someone clean the building. And I understand what it means to move people around from listening to Arel and others. And, you know, that would be... That's a little bit easier for me to support than the other, which is already one in the budget. But, you know, I understand where everyone seems to be coming from. Mm.
Peter, and then I have a question.
Well, everyone's got to think for themselves. If Arel had asked for a cleaner, I certainly would have voted for it. Arel didn't ask for a cleaner. My own perception, I'm trying to think of the buildings that I walk through on a regular basis. I walk through this building. I walk through the public safety building. I walk through the emergency response building. I walk through the human services building. I walk through the, or I have been through in the community justice building. And frankly, of all those buildings, I think the community justice building looks awful inside. I don't know if that could be fixed by Arell or not, but that's what I think. But the other buildings that I walked through, I did not see anything that said this is unacceptable. And believe me, I know it because I remember at Cornell at a time when they cut down on people that clean buildings, the buildings got dirty and filthy, and I understood that you can see the result. But this one has not, I haven't seen that we really have that big a problem. I mean, so therefore, unless Arell were to say that he needs one, I won't vote for it.
I want to know, we have a couple people who clean this whole building, right? We get a reimbursement from the state for a certain amount of maintenance and cleaning depending upon square footage. So when, and by the way, who cleans the second floor of the old courthouse? Okay. So when we move over there, that's not any change, right? Okay. But will we get, we would get more reimbursement from the state for this building. When COFA moves out, we'll get more reimbursement from the state for their space, correct? So do you have any idea what difference that makes in your budget?
It's minimal because the reimbursement we get is 25% of the cleaning effort. We get 100% reimbursement for tenant work.
So that's maintenance on that.
Any improvement that directly impacts, you know, the court system. So, yes, we'll pick up some additional money for the office for the aging space on the basement level that the state will occupy. But then now with the switch between the legislature and the Supreme Court, we'll actually get a little less because they basically have double the space currently at the old courthouse. But coming into this space, it's about half the size. So that'll be reduced in reimbursement here. We'll pick up some on the ground floor. But it's not equivalent to a cleaning position by any means.
Do you have a ballpark of what the dollars?
Yeah, it's probably going to be $3,000. I mean, it'll be $5,000.
Oh, okay.
We can't hire anybody.
No, I was just wondering. Okay. Pam and then Frank.
Well, I just can't imagine, even though Arell didn't ask for this cleaner this year, as has been said many times, Arell is a team player. It has not been, over these last few years, a good thing to be asking for more people because, in fact, that isn't what the message has been to our department heads. And we've increased the square footage by 100,000 square feet in 12 years, and we have not increased our staff. And I don't care if the buildings look fine. What we are doing to our staff is just not right. I mean, I can't imagine what their morale is like. And I think that we are not looking, we are not seeing the forest for the trees here. I think that you can't ask people to continue. These are not high-paid people, and we are asking more and more of them, and we are asking more and more of many of our employees. But this is a complicated thing because it's not just one massive building that you can move people up and down halls and floors. We have buildings all over the county, and that we are, it makes it even more amazing that we have been able to do what we have with the numbers that we have with that kind of increase. So I thank Dooley for bringing this back, and I will support this.
All right, I have a feeling minds are kind of made up here. So if we can vote, I mean, unless there's something new. Yeah, Frank.
This is more sarcasm than it is anything else. I think Arell ought to approach the state and ask for a livable wage for the individuals that are I mean, half serious. If the reimbursement for this building potentially is $5,000.
No, he meant the net out when we add and subtract the different spaces that are moving around.
Nonetheless, that's embarrassing. I mean, just for the cleaners. That really is a serious comment. That really is an embarrassing reimbursement.
Are we ready to vote? All in favor of $41,728 for Target for a new cleaner position? Please raise your hand. Opposed? That fails 6-8. Carol?
Yeah. Would it be more acceptable to people maybe to do this to start out as a half-time FTE or to do this with one-time money with the expectation that it would be continued next year into the Target?
I'll second it.
Wait, which one?
Either one.
I'd prefer to build some into Target.
I think that's a good idea. Go to Target.
Half? So why don't I start first? I'm going to propose that we do it at half-time FTE.
Yep. Second.
Okay, moved by Carol, seconded by Pam. And, Rel, that you have half-time positions. You can do that? Okay. Discussion?
No.
So, Kevin, you have the number for us?
Yep, it's up there. So
I'd like to get out on the table the question of, I mean, this would be, I assume, finish our program and still keep us below 4%. Can I get out on the table the question of whether the number is just getting too large, or?
Can I just get, the addition to the target is 20, what? What's the dollar number? I can't see.
That's just half. It would probably be a little higher because you're talking about health benefits. If the percentage is a little higher.
You're paying full fringes.
More like 25. Oh, I can't run that number off the top of my head. Give me a minute.
Okay. All right. Okay. Do we need any more discussion? In the ballpark of... So 383 it's going to be a little higher than that because you're paying the full fringe.
So does anybody want to answer my question about whether it's... a question for them of the number getting high rather than that you think we just don't need any cleaning? I mean, I think our cleaning is getting to a point of
I think we'd 100% vote for all the things that have been requested if we didn't have to pay for them.
I understand.
I mean, I think there's no question these aren't valid, important things. Every motion we've made. My summary is that just people are worried about the taxpayers.
I think if you put 25 in, it would cover the salary and fringe of a part-time person.
I think you're in the ballpark.
Okay, and that can be adjusted if we have to do that. Jim?
I'm going to break my rule, and I will support the 25, but I would hope that as we open the building around... that you come back and ask for the rest of it so you can have a full-time person to do it. But, that's how I kind of view it today and
ditto.
And be willing to do that.
Okay, ready to vote? All in favor of the halftime cleaner at the ballpark, $25,000. Please raise your hand. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Wait, Peter, is your hand up?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Opposed. Passes 11-3.
Thank you.
Nathan was a yes. Nathan turned into a yes. Okay. Did Julia heard you say something about another revisit?
Yes, I realize the odds are way lower than I would like them to be, but I want to give Pat an opportunity to vote for money for sustainability on its own merits. So I will move I'll move a lower number. I'll move $23,000 for the planning department to put toward sustainability planning for all the reasons I mentioned before. I think climate change is such a crucial thing we're facing.
Moved by Dooley, seconded by Will. Pam.
No, I was kind of
seconded. Oh, okay. Is there anything new to say? Brian, there is something new to say.
Huh?
Never mind.
No, maybe just a clarification. I mean, I kind of had a problem with this from the beginning in terms of an accountability standpoint with the city and us. Being that it's just us, if this money is earmarked towards that, I still have a bit of an accountability problem with it. How do you keep track of that? But at any rate, you know, be it as it may, but when we want to get something and we start pulling at heartstrings in order to get it, you know, climate change, we're talking about $20,000 for climate change. What is that going to do? I mean,
change the climate.
Yeah, evidently, I mean, it's going to start right here in Tompkins County, and we're going to change it. It's like, come on.
Well, Ed did say before, whether it's his own, you can repeat it if you want. You can replay the tape, but
if every community did this.
I don't want to belabor the point, but I think one thing is kind of instructive. The initiative the county took, which took a fair amount of Varel's time and a fair amount of my time, to arrange the Solar Liberty solar panels that are going on the roofs of the county buildings right now, might seem symbolic, and it is to some degree. It's real at the same time. But as a result of that, Cornell University and Ithaca College are both looking at doing potentially 5 to 10 times as much solar on their campuses with Solar Liberty. And they've been calling us over the last several weeks, how is it working? Can you tell us about your deal? So the things we do to lead do make a difference, a big difference sometimes. And I guess I would just leave it at that.
Okay. Julie, the number was 23,000?
Yes.
Okay. Ready to vote? All in favor of saving the planet for 23,000? All in favor of the amendment? Strike that. All in favor of the motion? Please raise your hand. Opposed?
Very sad.
That was not a very good heartstring.
Yeah. I was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 to 4. Did I miss somebody? 4 to 9. I mean, please. You had 5. Who was in favor of again?
It's very small.
I'm sorry. 5. Okay. There are 5 of us, so it fails 5 to 9. Okay. All right.
We can still make motions, is that correct?
We are at the end of the list, but are there any other amendments to the budget?
I would like to make an amendment to the capital budget for 2013 to have us raise the number, which I forgot to bring with me, but Kevin will remember everything because he does. There was a spreadsheet
no pressure.
That indicated if we added to the amount of our capital program some small number in 2013, it would do away with most of the red ink in most future years. And I can't remember the number.
And do you remember what it was? We did a series with the adding a 0.25% or a 0.2%.
I think you added a 0.25.
Part of the levy.
In 2013.
I think it was back to 0.2, actually.
It was 0.2.
But I don't know the dollar figure.
You're proposing to add 0.2%? Well, I'm sorry.
To raise it.
Yeah, so 0.2% on our current amount is...
This is capital program?
This is the capital program, yes. We had a look at the 20-year spreadsheet, and you could see red ink appearing in
maybe 5 years.
This is a little too vague.
Mike?
Can I call a question?
I'm going to go to Mike.
There may not be a second, but I wanted to try this because
I'm sorry, was it not seconded?
Not seconded.
But it's hard to
know what it is yet.
Point two is $84,000.
Thank you.
The motion is to add $84,000 target into the capital program. Is that right?
Yes.
Is there a second? Dies for lack of a second.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Frank?
Go big, Dooley.
Yeah, my recollection, Dooley, when you tried this on us at the capital programs, we were talking about adding 1%. I don't know what that translates to into a dollar amount, but I thought it was 1%, and we were going to try to do it over several years. There was one year where like 2 or 3 years from now, Ed, where we went into red ink, and it would help us alleviate that. But
I would remind folks that the Capital Plan Review Committee has passed a revision, or passed an update to our capital program for 20 years, and that will be coming to the Budget Committee and then coming to the legislature to deal with 2014 and beyond.
It omits anything for 2013. That's why I'm mentioning it now.
Right. So,
and the 1% that Frank is talking about, I think, is the number we thought we were going to go forward with, but it's been much reduced.
Oh, all right. So you've had a subsequent meeting of some sort that I wasn't at.
Yeah.
All right, Jim.
You're not on the capital plan committee. I don't have any idea what you're talking about.
Right.
Mike?
I just say the capital plan that was approved by the committee is winding its way through to budget, and we'll be looking at it a little bit more. It'll come to this legislature. The suggestion was made at capital plan that Dooley is talking about. Anytime you put more money into it, it's always nice, but we decided not to recommend that.
And that would be starting in 2014 anyway. So the out years, the red ink in the out years, is part of the program that we'll be looking at. Are there any other motions? Jim?
Yeah, I want to move $82,000 out of the fund balance to get to the cap.
To get to the cap.
That's right.
Second that.
Second by Leslin.
Wait, that's not... Well,
would you
change since Arell's? That number changed since Arell's half-time position. It's actually you need $64,440.
Well, let me amend that to $65,000 then.
All right. Could
that's friendly to me.
All right. Is 384 is the amount with Arell's half-time position?
Right. I'm sorry. It said 3.9 up there. That was it. Still had the planning 23,000.
And the cap is 3.69.
Okay, hold on. So 384 includes Arell's halftime position.
Correct.
And then you do what Jim said of $65,000 from fund
reserve.
Balance. Makes it what?
3.69. Which is the tax cap.
The re-recalculated one.
The re-recalculated tax cap.
This week.
Yeah.
This week. Okay, so that's
Oh, no,
moved.
All the numbers are finally in, so that is the number.
Is that your final answer?
Moved and seconded. Carol and then Pam.
Very good.
And Dooley. Okay.
Last year, when the governor proposed his tax cap, to a person, I believe it was, this legislature said, "Who are you, Governor Cuomo, to be telling us on a local level what our needs are and what we can carry?" You know, it may be that people want to spend, keep our numbers down, but I don't see what has changed that we should give. I mean, the state of New York, the legislature and the governor and the state of New York have the responsibility and the jurisdiction to determine the tax rate for the state of New York. But we have the power on the local level to decide what our needs are, and I think it should stay that way. So I'm not quite understanding the willingness to give that kind of power when this came up last year, we said that's just not the right way to do government. So I oppose this.
Pam, Dooley, Peter.
Well, there was a time not so long ago when we used to take large sums of money out of our reserve to get the our tax levy down, and I thought it was a bad idea to do that, and so I really am opposed to anything that takes us back in that direction. I think we're fooling ourselves. I don't think we're fooling anybody, actually. I think I'm philosophically opposed to doing it because I don't think it's an honest way to do business.
Julie, I thought we passed something saying we know better than to try to meet the governor's cap. We need to take care of what we need to take care of. And that, in my mind, nothing has changed. I certainly don't want to take money out of our reserves, which aren't as high as I'd like them to be anyway. We need a policy to have higher reserves, and this just is going in the wrong direction in my view.
I've got Peter, Frank, Mike, and then Jim. I might suggest we take out a little less so that we stay just above the cap. All right, Peter.
I agree with what most people have said. I just think it's the wrong thing to do, the wrong reason. It's not the right thing to do with the reserve fund.
Frank?
Thanks, Madam Chair. A couple of questions first. Jim or David, can you remind us what the fund balance is? How much?
It's in the... Hang on a second.
The better question is, how much of the fund balance have you used for the 2013 budget? And
well,
that is $1,040,000.
Well, it's that plus rollover.
Right.
It's about $1,000,004.
$1,000,004.
And we have unrestricted reserves.
$1,400,000?
Just under.
Yeah. So we have an unassigned general fund balance in the budget that was given to you originally of $14.3 million. So we're right at that 10%.
So we're right around the 10% that we're talking about. And if we pull, how much was it, Jim? Did you, 65?
65.
If we pull that out, it's not going to put us in jeopardy of the 10% or so.
It won't affect the 10. I mean, it will create, the problem will be next year with the new budget next year. And you'll need to backfill that $65,000 one-time money with something else. And whether it's new target or it's another cut, you'll need to deal with it next year.
David, you gave us a report earlier tonight about sales tax revenue. I mean, I realize it was 4 hours ago or three and a half, but can you quickly remind me how we stand on the sales tax? The mic is down here.
Kevin's got the mic.
Well, presently, we would. Last year we had about almost $1 million. Sales tax was over the budget. This year, it's at the present time, it's more likely $450,000. That we're going to be above what we estimated. And, you know, it would take a really strong fourth quarter to get us to $1 million.
But that's $1 million to the good instead of break even, but
yes,
based on projection. But
yeah,
right now we're
right
about
now, right
400.
Now, we're about, you know, we're on track to be about 450,000 above what we budgeted.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to support Jim's motion of pulling 65 out of the fund balance.
All right, I've got Mike and Jim and Leslie.
Yeah, I'm going to support it as well. I think that our fund balance is okay. We're proposing to take about $1 million this year, and I think about $1.2 million last year, so that's come down. We do still have this rollover that nobody's touched this year that we continue to. That's one of the reasons that our fund balance is low, because we elect to spend that money that's left over each year. But I don't think this is going to harm us. I think it's something we can do. And, you know, it's all right to say to the people out there, we understand what the tax cap is, and we made it.
Jim?
I will pass.
Leslie?
Mike, I probably couldn't have said it any better, and I know there's a whole lot of philosophical discussion about whether to do this or not do that. This is not going to break us in any way, shape, or form. And the other one of our priorities, we've put a lot of things into this budget that are priorities to many of us. We've tonight voted on things that are for or against things that are priorities. One of our other priorities is to the people who are taxpayers out there, and this is taxpayer dollars. And for us to take $65,000 to say to our taxpayers, we know the pain you're in right now and we're trying to stay within this tax cap, I think is one of those things that, you know, we should just do. Yeah. It's not going to break us by any means for us to do this for the people who are paying the taxes out there.
Carol Brian Will. Is your hand up, Nate?
Yeah.
Carol Brian Will, Nate.
Now that I heard that we're further depleting reserves, essentially, I would rather see us go the other direction. I'm almost ready to try to amend Jim's resolution to add that amount back to our reserves instead. I mean, whether I haven't done it yet, but whether I don't think this is the time to be depleting our reserves. Whether you're concerned about more potential storms, whether you're concerned about hydrilla, and maybe having to come up with something money, extra money for something like that this year, whether you're concerned about the doomsday talk out there of a possible double dip recession. I mean, I think this is a year that it's not certain what's going on, and I just don't think this is the year to further deplete what we keep in abeyance. And so I will not support this.
Brian, Will, and Nate.
Thanks. At first blush, this almost feels like smoke and mirrors. But we need to remember that none of this is our money, you know. I think there would be a lot of people that would say, you know, I almost think this is irresponsible of you. You had an opportunity to spend $65,000 out of 11 million, 14 million, whatever it is, to get to a cap. And, you know, we all have our opinions as to the cap. But, you know, at some point, maybe we should try to respect that. And say, you know, and next year, you know, we may have to say, look, we did it. We went down to the cap, and look what you got for that. Is that acceptable to you, or isn't it? But I almost get the feeling that, you know, we've got some people saying, well, we don't want to spend that money. It's not our money. You know, it's something that we had to tax for at some point. Somehow, whether it was a sales tax or property tax or however it got to us, it's still the people's money. I don't know. It's late.
No, I was well said. Will?
It is late, and it is smoke and mirrors, but I think the smoke and mirrors are on the part of the governor. He has politically convinced New Yorkers that, oh my gosh, he is the person that will hold the line, and if only these local governments would get under control. And the people believe this number that's 2%. It's not 2%. We know that. There's this number that keeps moving up and down. Joe just reminded us that if we do this, the amount of money is not really all that small, but there will be pain to be paid, very real pain next year as we try to have to adjust the levy, having reduced it by this amount. To me, ultimately, it's an avoidance of our collective responsibility. We are sort of giving credence to this mythically ever-moving number that is the cap, and somehow giving it credibility, when in point of fact, we all know it's utterly bogus, and I strongly encourage us to vote against it.
I just have a word to say that the big surprise to the taxpayer will be that we made the cap at 369. I mean, like, that takes a lot to explain. Nate, then Peter.
Yeah, I have...
I mean, I believe that, that using reserves to reduce the levy is a legitimate use of that money, as long as you have enough reserves to pay or to have the money in times of emergency, and that 5% number is usually that key number, and then also to have money to have a good bond rating, as we do, which I think that 10% number gets us to. And so as long as we have the reserves at those levels, I think that using a small amount, and I know $65,000 isn't quite a small amount, but I mean relative to our budget, in order to be under the tax cap, I think is a wise use of funds. Now, also, Martha, I think you bring up a very good point, and that is that I think that we actually gain credibility in this argument about reform of the tax cap system by saying that there are years in which we were in within the tax caps and years that we were not, right, and what it took to do both. And I think that when we also pass a budget, just as you said, that is within the tax cap, but at 369, that it also will educate the public, too, about this tax cap. And so I think, in addition to the actual very real reasons why we should do this, I think that's an added argument that will be meaningful in educating the public about this issue.
I had you, Peter, but I didn't. Did you have your hand up? I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Jim was up first.
All right,
then
Peter.
Then Peter.
I get a lot of chances.
All right, Peter.
Call the question.
Oh.
Oh, gosh.
See you, Peter.
There goes my chance.
There he is.
I think people are going to remember that, Peter. You sure you want to make that motion?
You can't discuss calling the question.
I was just making sure I heard right. And you seconded him, Frank?
Yes.
All in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand.
I'm sitting here, Bob.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Opposed? 4. Passes 10-4. All right, the motion is to bring the tax levy down from 3.84% to 3.69% by moving $65,000 from the fund balance. Correct?
Yes.
All in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That passes 9-5.
Thank you.
Hold up. The opposed people, tell me again. Opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Peter, Carol, Pam, Julie, Will. Okay. That passes 9-5.
Wait, you voted for it.
I voted for it.
To give the governor's tax cap credibility. Okay.
Here's what I like, that we passed a law allowing ourselves to go over it.
Yes, we did.
And that we came in under it anyway. I think
it's a gimmick.
No, I think it says what we said at the beginning to people, which was,
you know, let's not start doing that, you know.
All right. I think I've seen Jim and Carol.
I'd like to call the question on the 2013 budget. It looks like it's done to me.
Except that you just made a comment, so I rule that you can't call the question and speak on it at the same time. Carol, did you have? I'm sorry, Jim. I think it's reasonable to ask if there are any other motions.
Yeah,
I think
right.
That's
yeah.
what we have to do.
Well, so now that we've gotten the amount down, wait, can you come back, Kevin, to 3.69%? I would like to know if there's any will to revisit the question of restoring some of the planning department staff, even if it's forget about climate change, just to get these people who have asked to go back to some of their hours, who are trying to feed their family.
All right.
I would like to make a motion. I'll
make
a motion at 20,000.
If I could just suggest, start a little lower.
Lower?
Just at
okay.
23.
Would 15 do anything for you?
15.
All right. Is there a second for that? Second if I will. All right. I don't think we have to have any discussion, right? All in favor of adding $15,000 to the planning department budget for sustainability purposes? Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That fails 6-8. Are there any other motions on the budget? Dooley.
Carol, you're I'd like to know how much more we should take from reserves to get down to our own guideline of 3.5%. I really don't like giving the governor's number credibility at all. I'm willing to take a little more out of reserves just to do that.
All right, that's a question for Kevin.
Yeah.
quick, the
county administrator's budget was 3.48.
Our guideline was 3.5. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it was 3.5, and it's a different 3.5. You know, it's a different. Okay.
Is the 3.72 supposed to be 3.69?
Oh, our guideline. Oh, his budget came in 3.4.
Broke down.
So Dooley's going to make a motion to take an additional amount out of fund balance to get us to 3.5% levy increase, correct?
Which was the guideline we gave the administrator
okay.
to start.
Okay, seconded by Will. Right?
Well, Kevin's figuring it out.
Right, so we know what the purpose here. Okay, Will?
I would hope we would consider this. This would make many of us happy. Those of you that really, really wanted to be under the cap can be very proud. Those of you who want to defy the governor can be proud. I think it's a winning strategy. The money is almost insignificant. And, yes, we'll pay the pain next year, but, you know, that's next year.
Okay, do we have a number from Kevin?
80,000.
Another 80,000 would have to come out? Okay, Joe?
Yeah. I can't hold back. I have to remind the legislature, it's one thing to apply reserves, one-time money for one-time expenses. That's okay. If you draw down your reserves to a level that is comfortable to you, and you've tied those one-time revenues to one-time expenditures, you haven't set yourself up for a difficult next year. With the additional amounts that you take out of reserves to just pay for recurring ongoing costs with one-time money, it creates an increasingly difficult problem as you open the first page of the 2014 budget. Remember, we're walking into it with some structural issues to begin with.
There's another
we've got the library. We've got the T families, we call them. We have those T agencies that need some help. And I'm just concerned that as we spend down more of our reserves, for recurring costs that will be with us next year, it's going to make it even more difficult in 2014.
That's the sum of $145,000.
Yeah.
You mean that
these two?
The two.
One that's already in and the addition of this would bring us to 145.
Jim.
And let me remind you that over the county administrator's budget, two positions have now been added to get to this 3.69.
Peter?
That were not asked for in the original budget.
Right. Peter?
I believe, as I said before, this is a wrong use of reserves. It should not be done. I think, frankly, that what we believe about throwing things in the face of the governor stays within this room. I don't think the governor hears anything about it, and I don't think anybody else does either, okay?
And
it may make us happy, but there's no point to it. So I'm going to vote against this.
Leslin?
What is a right use of reserves?
Right use of reserves is to provide a cushion for unexpected bad events, and there are general rules about what we should do, and 10% is not outside that. We do not have particularly large reserves at 10%. There is no bright line. You know, you can't say 19,586,000 is exactly what we ought to do. It's okay to come down to that, but it's not okay to go another $10 less. There's no such line. But I honestly believe that this kind of fooling the public in a certain sense is not a good use of reserves.
And we have a cushion.
We have a cushion. We have roughly the cushion we should have.
Okay. You know? Jim?
Yes.
So we shouldn't...
This is not going to hurt.
Okay. People raise your hands,
please. Well, we're not fooling anybody. I know that. I believe David Squires has said all the time, I've been here, that what we worry about is cash flow and how much money we spend every month to make the county run. starting January, February, March, and hopefully we have enough money in the fund balance to take care of any emergencies that happen during that time and any time during the year. My $65,000 amendment was, yes, to get close to the cap, but I was not thinking about Governor Cuomo, because if you can remember, the first action that the Budget Committee made was the ability to go over the cap. That's the first thing we asked for, and we were able to do that. And you all supported that, or many people supported that. So, you know, I'm not worried about Andrew. I don't think he's listening. Hopefully he's busy in Staten Island trying to get power back to all those people who have been out of power for 4 weeks. But,
yeah. I'm not going to support this either. I think the 65 was one thing, but another 80 is just too far. I think we do. I'm really worried about next year. We have some things we need to pay attention to, and this would undo a lot of what we've done. Are we ready to vote? All in favor of removing another $80,000 from the fund balance to get us to a 3.5% levy, please raise your hand. In favor of that? Three. Opposed? Three to 11. Mike.
Call a question on the 2013 budget.
Okay. All right. Brian seconds that. Okay. All in favor of calling the question on the budget?
This is the operating budget.
Mike, I think you mean, did you mean the operating and capital on this resolution? On the resolution in
the
front of us?
The whole smear, yes.
Yeah. Okay. On the whole thing. This is to call a question. Opposed? Passes 11 to 3. What we have in front of us is, with these various amendments, if this fails, Jonathan, would you remind us what happens?
It goes back to the county administrator's budget as amended by the full legislature when it was amended.
When we sent it to the tentative.
Sorry, yeah. I couldn't hear that.
I'm sorry. It's the county administrator's budget as it was amended by this legislature, which was right before the public hearing.
The budget we sent to public hearing.
Right.
It's time to vote, Frank.
Would you let me ask a question?
Sure.
Thank you. Kevin, I don't have my glasses on. If this passes, the increase on a $160,000 home is $19.95.
That is correct.
Thank you.
Do you want to do a roll call?
Yes.
Could we have the numbers substituted in the resolution we have in the packet, please?
Sure. Somebody want to tell me which ones they
have? I think I can do all but one. There's one that I don't have. So the levy is now, as shown up there, $43,778,193.
Which is lower than what's in the resolution.
That's correct.
778,193.
When you get down to the next resolve, it's a tax levy increase of 3.69%. That's the levy. The next number in that series is the rate. The rate increase is now 1.87%. I don't know what the increase is in local spending, Kevin. I don't know if you've got that on the machine or not. And then skipping down to the next resolve, the tax change will result in a $19.95 increase on the $160,000 home. So I'm not sure if we're going to be able to calculate that local spending amount.
All right, I think we're ready to vote.
Point of information, would the tax levy increase be if we defeat this?
If what?
If this...
377.
If we defeat the...
377.
Right.
Okay. roll call of members.
Mr. Burbank?
Aye.
Ms. Chack?
Yes.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Uh, Yes.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Ms. McAfee?
Yes.
Mrs. McBean-Claiborne?
Yes.
Mr. McKenna?
Yes.
Mr. Proto?
Yes.
Ms. Pryor?
Yes.
Mr. Robison?
Yes.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Yes.
Mr. Stein?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
Yes.
14 yes votes.
Jim Dennis.
Let me just say a couple of parting things. Last year I characterized the budget making process as making a movie, and you shoot more scenes than you generally need. Things get cut out and they end up on the floor. This budget started out the year as a pretty lean budget. That we had asked for 3.5. The county administrator came in at 3.5 or 3.48, I believe. And what this budget accomplishes is essential services continue. We have the threat of employee layoffs has, you know, diminished or gone away at this point. We're filling in some of the important gaps that the county administrator brought to us that we knew existed, and they had become obvious because we've had 4 years straight of budget cuts. We're investing in technology and training, and we have a small but important trend in reducing funding for ongoing infrastructure maintenance. The total growth is what it was stated tonight. I think one of the interesting things to me is I moved this budget and I have then an obligation to speak for it, and of course I will. I'm still unhappy to a certain extent with the addition of two positions that were not asked for during the budget process. And, you know, as we would move forward, those things would be more justified, and I could certainly look at them at the time. But I appreciate the fact that that they got responded to the way they did and what we've come to in this final budget. Let me just recognize the contributions of the county administrator, Joe Mariana, Kevin Sutherland, the rest of the staff, and the department heads who have made this possible. They recognized, they sat in the room with Joe in the heat of the summer in what he likes to characterize, I work in a jail, you know. and they came out with a budget that we were within a few points of, you know, we approved. And I have great admiration for the work that they did during this time. And clearly, all of you who showed up at these meetings in October, I believe we spent 30 hours during the whole process of listening to departments and the voting meetings. I appreciate all the work that all of you have done, and I think your constituents will be pretty happy about the work you've done. Finally, what I would say is that next year, a suggestion might be that we ask the county administrator to bring the budget the second September meeting rather than September 1st. Given the way the schedule worked for us this time, we were able to fit in the meetings necessary to get to this point. I think it would make it a bit easier for administration to get it to us in the second meeting in September, and we would still be able to go through the whole process and come out with a budget in November. So, at any rate, thank you for your work. And
Carol, thank you very much for coming. Thank you. I'm glad we were able to entertain you on television while they expand the budget committee meetings. And we look forward to having you back, you know, full time. We're sorry Kathy wasn't here tonight. Thank you very much for making this amazing effort. Lindsay, good to meet you. And thank you very much. Okay. So long. Yes, we understand. This is long. And Carol, before you leave, I want you to know that Kathy Covert made it through surgery, is in recovery and doing well. What? Yes. Joe, you had you wanted some remarks.
Yeah, just a couple of minutes to close out this process. And Jim has said a lot of what I otherwise would have said, so I'll try not to duplicate that. But Jim talked about how long this process is, and I was thinking this morning how long this process is, and I was thinking it began in April. But then as I thought more about it, this budget didn't begin in April. This budget began in late 2008 when the economy fell apart and it collapsed. And the county had to figure out what it was going to do to navigate through that difficult economy. And early in that process, this legislature and this organization made decisions then that proved to be extremely helpful to our ability to navigate through this situation and arrive at a place today where the budget that you were debating tonight, even though there was some pretty intense discussion, was really on the margin. It really wasn't kind of a survival type debate. I just want you to think about what you have done over the past 4 years. When the economy collapsed, the bottom fell out from underneath the sales tax. We lost $2 million in sales tax almost overnight. Our sales tax went down. It plummeted. People's dependence on our services increased rapidly and has stayed high. Our pension costs went way up. The capacity of our taxpayers declined because they were being laid off. And then we were faced with a tax cap. So when you think about what you've had to deal with over the past 4 years and what's brought us to this point, those were the conditions that you had to deal with. And you've all read the newspapers and you've all seen what some counties have done. They've been very unilateral, single approaches. They've slashed expenditures and that's it. They've drawn down their reserves and that's it. I think what you have done to find a balance between a little bit of spending increase, some expenditure of tax increases, some expenditure reductions. You've cut some programs. You've made some hard decisions. Our roster is smaller today than it was 3 or 4 years ago. One out of every 12 positions that used to be here isn't here anymore, and we've gotten there by managing attrition. So in terms of how we got to this budget and in this place with a lean budget, I think it really is a tribute to what you and this organization have accomplished over the four most difficult years imaginable. So I think at some point you need to take stock of what you've been through and the decisions you've had to make and realize that those decisions have turned out to be pretty good. So I'm not pandering and I'm not fishing on behalf of anybody for compliments, but I do think sometimes we need to look beyond what's happening on our agenda today and think long-term about what we've been through to get to the point where we are today. So as we close out this budget, I hope you kind of take that perspective in mind. I, too, have a lot of thanks. The legislature has done a great job this year. Kevin Sutherland, in his junior year, has really made, I think, our budget process and the budget book a tool for decision makers as opposed to accountants. That's what our goal was, and I think Kevin has taken us a long way there. I want to recognize Marcia for the work she does throughout this to make this decipherable to members of the public who try to figure out what you're doing. Jim, for your leadership in the budget committee. Department heads who have figured out how they prioritize and stay within their targets. I also want us to kind of single out our labor unions and their leadership for understanding the times that we're in and coming to agreements that fit the times. So, again, this is kind of the end of the process for 2013. Within a few months, we'll be beginning to talk about 2014. So, again, I really appreciate what you do. And I hope as you explain this to your constituents, where this budget is and what it is, you'll find this helpful to be able to provide some perspective on how we came to this place. So thank you.
Thank you, Joe. And thank you, Jim. I've got a couple other people lined up. I want to just say we're not done. We have more business to do. The reason I voted yes the way I did was that a unanimous budget. Have we done that before? I am really humbled by the idea that everybody had something that they didn't get in here, or that they wanted, or, you know, or that something didn't happen the way they wanted it to happen, and yet we came together, and I think that's pretty amazing. I really deeply appreciate that. It shows a sincere effort that everybody, you know, worked very hard, tried to convince each other of our ideas, and that's what we're here for, and I deeply appreciate that. Jim, you stood up here for many, many, many hours and did a terrific job, and really want to thank you for that. You know, it's not exactly a nightclub act yet, but, you know, you're getting there. Kevin, it is a terrific document. You've been so helpful with information, all, you know, like almost instantaneously. And Joe, your framing of the issues, your leadership has been just stellar. We have all really come to totally depend on your judgment. You know that. So it is.
It's a very frightening thought.
No, it's really excellent that we know we can depend on your honesty and your credibility on the numbers, David, and all the department heads as well. So a couple of other comments from folks. I think we have a request to go to Resolution K, which came off the consent agenda, so Paula can go home. And then I think we need to take a couple-minute break, but I've got Brian and the mic.
I know we're in a pinch here. Just real quickly, I always try to want to step back as soon as something gets done, and because we're always in a budget mode. But I think we're getting better at this, at least in the 3 years I've been here. We're getting a lot better. Two recurrent thoughts that I had just from this year that are, I think, bear mentioning. One of them, we just went through it tonight. You know, the state is, they are forcing us to consider things that we want to fund, that we don't want to fund. And somebody mentioned that it was, you know, it was irrational on their part when you're talking about, like, youth services and HEAP and all that stuff. I don't think it's irrational at all. I think it's very rational. I think it's very calculating on their part. They're picking some of these things to go, hey, we're not, you know, you guys are the ones that are going to look like the bad guys based on the decisions you make. And we sit there and we have to wrestle with this. And I think, by and large, we did a pretty good job of that this year. The other thing that really stuck out in my mind as we went through this year was this whole idea of structural deficits. Now, we did what we could in terms of the deficits. But there's structures that definitely have to be looked at. And we're not just talking about TCAD. You know, there were several of them in there, and I know from somebody that's in business for myself, and you know, and Mike could, I'm sure, say the same thing. Although these aren't, you know, honest to God businesses, they're run like a business because a lot of them are employees and you know, that sort of stuff. If we run structural deficits, we're out of business. We have to look at the structure of these things moving forward. And I know we've already made commitments to do that. But that's going to be very, very important moving forward. But other than that, great job. And you're right. To get 14 people to agree on something after you know, probably a week's worth of work spread over 3 months, that's pretty good.
Mike?
Just very quickly, I would certainly associate myself with all, and I'm sure we all do, with Jim's and Martha's comments about our staff and our department heads and everything that's been done here. And Jim, I think you did a great job for us. And I fully intend to nominate you for the award for Cat Herder of the Year.
You're calling me a cat.
Excellent. Absolutely. Leslie.
Is Mike calling me a cat? Yeah, that category.
You
know,
I'm
it's.
Sure you purr.
I'm not going to respond. I'm so not going to respond. 10 o'clock. You know, below the administration and our department heads are everyday staff who take what we give them and make it work. And I want to make sure that we also acknowledge those folks. You know, we were talking tonight about cleaners who stretch beyond their limits and other people who there's some cuts in this budget and they have to figure out how to make it work. And department heads are looking to them to do some fancy footwork as well. So I want to make sure that we acknowledge that there are those folks at that level in our county government who do a lot of work in supporting and making sure that this budget works for the county. So big kudos to them as well.
Thank you, Leslie. Absolutely. All right. Are we ready to go to just the GEO resolution that came off? And then I would like a little break. I don't know if anybody else
Michael,
feels
we are
like
going home.
All right, we'll take a little vote on whether to keep pushing through. All right.
GEO, let's go.
GEO Resolution J, packet page 17.
Approving revisions of the Tompkins County Government Administrative Policy Manual, Policy 04-06, Compensation Plans and Employee Salaries. I'm moving the one in the packet.
Seconded by Pam. And Frank, I think you took it off.
Yeah, simple question. I just want assurance that this these changes, as I read them, I didn't find anything in there, but I just want to make it, I want to hear it from probably Paula. These changes do not transcend the report on compensatory time.
May I address that before Paula answers? I submitted to staff, and they put it at the back of the resolution packet, a revised resolution which did not go through committee. And I did that because when I advertised the GEO committee meeting on the 9th, I said there's going to be a resolution on compensation plan and employee salaries, and I assumed it had to do with the study on compensation. And I was wrong. That's not what this policy does. All this policy does was implement, in so many words, the distinction that was made in 2007 by legislative resolution, the distinction between management and confidential. That's all that this change does. And so I offered, and I want to offer the revision, the amendment to the committee resolution, because this resolution makes it clear that that's all it deals with. So I wanted to offer this revision and hope someone will second it.
Have you found it, Frank?
No.
Page 17.
There's the changes in the second whereas. All right. So, Dooley, you're making that motion?
Yes. I think I didn't realize Paula was sitting around for this, but since
okay.
it was taken
is
off.
Is there a second? Well, that fails
oh,
for...
Oh, please. Somebody.
No.
Yeah, I'll second.
Wait. People weren't paying attention, Martin.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I don't blame you. Resolution J, it should be in the back of your packet that came in the mail where you picked mm-hmm. it up. Revised resolution offered by legislature. Keep
yeah,
it. Let's
it's there too.
The revised.
Okay. And it's the revision is in the second whereas.
Right.
Everybody got it? Jim seconded it. All right. We ready to vote? All in favor of revised resolution J, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous.
Madam Chair.
That answered your question, didn't it, Frank?
Could the minutes specifically refer to Dooley's explanation? Thank you. Yes.
Okay. So.
Thank you.
Let me ask a show of hands. How many want to, the choice is either blow through as quickly as we can or take a five-minute break?
Take a five-minute
break. Who wants to take a five-minute break?
You take a five-minute break.
Who wants to blow through?
Both.
What was that?
We're rolling through.
We're going to roll through. Okay, then I'm going to go to Broadband Committee, Pat Pryor, Chair.
Broadband Committee in Peace is coming Monday, 5:30 at the Borough Corner Room. You're all invited to come. Thank you.
That's perfect. Thank you. Jim, did you have anything else for budget?
No, we have a meeting Monday afternoon at 3:30.
Okay. Public Safety Committee, Peter Stein, Chair.
I'm sorry, I got something to say.
All right.
We had a meeting at ECROC this morning, which I think is worth reporting on. The consultant that we hired to offer suggestions as to how we could improve the operation of the Communications Center issued his final report. We had a brisk discussion. I want to make it a little bit clear. You know, the 911 center, it's a curious operation. It has a zero tolerance for error. It's different than almost anything else around, because the notion is that you're always dealing with life or death situations. You're dealing with a public safety issue, it is a domestic violence. You're dealing with a fire which may burn down a house. You're dealing with a man who's had a heart attack and he has to get to the hospital, and whether or not he survives depends on essentially how quick you can respond to it. And in a situation like that, you really have zero tolerance for error. And I think everybody that works in the 911 center understands that. And what that really means is that you have to route out anything where somebody can possibly make a mistake because they heard the wrong thing or something like that. And there are these pages and pages of protocols which attempt to make that happen. Now, our people have worked very hard at doing that, but there was a general understanding by a lot of the people whose agencies are dispatched that we could do better than we do, which is not to say that we do badly, but that we could do better. And we heard from the consultant what we could do to make our operation better, and there's pretty unanimous agreement that we ought to follow those recommendations. And I think we have more or less decided that one way to do that is to become accredited. And what being accredited means is that an agency, which is an expert in this operation, looks at all of our operations piece by piece and decides whether or not they are up to standard. And unless they're all up to standard, you can't be accredited. And that makes a goal that we think it's wise for the 911 Center to strive for. And again, I want to make clear that it does not mean that the operation that we have at the moment is not an excellent operation. We want it to be as excellent as it can be. So that's what I want to report.
So that's ECROC, but the committee hasn't...
No, the committee hasn't done it, but okay. that's what the ECROC... ECROC, for those of you who don't know, is the 911 Center... plus representatives from the agencies. By agencies, it means police forces, public safety forces, EMS forces, fire division that the 911 Center dispatches. ECROC is that organization.
Yes. Brian?
Yeah, not to do with this, but you mentioned earlier about coming up with a resolution to take care of what Faye presented tonight. I mean, we can do that, but there's already state law on this, so I mean, if you're looking for that resolution, it's probably not necessary.
Okay, well, I assume the committee will. Okay. You mean you're not allowed to have tinted windows?
No, there's laws governing
there's levels
now.
So how do they?
We'll bring it to public safety because there might be some conversation about how to enforce.
Okay. All right. Jim?
No.
Okay.
Tinted windows.
Okay. Any questions for Peter? All right. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Leslie Lupin, Claiborne, Chair.
Following Pat's lead, we will be meeting next Wednesday, and you're all welcome to attend.
Thank you. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The committee, there were two items on the committee agenda that I really just want to comment on. One was Lisa Holmes presented the results of the 2012 Senior Needs Assessment Survey. There were 12 areas that were surveyed, And you will get a full presentation here at the board meeting. I think it's the second meeting in December is when that's scheduled. They polled of the 16,000 seniors, 60-plus in the county. They did a sample of 402, and it covered items from employment to housing, transportation, isolation, technology, food and nutrition, health, caregiving. It was quite a presentation that she gave the committee. I think it'll be an eye-opener for the board. The second item, and it goes back to something we were talking about earlier this evening regarding the budget, was from Patricia Carey, DSS. Things do not look rosy for the beginning of next year. She indicated that there's between 400 and 500 individuals coming off the unemployment rolls by the end of this year and in this county. And it's going to create quite a few shockwaves through our financial needs, with our financial needs. And on
Frank,
top,
you don't mean they're coming off the unemployment rolls because they're getting jobs.
No,
their unemployment benefits
are ending, and they won't be eligible based on what's happening. Thank you, Martha.
400 and 500?
She said that the estimate for our county is between 400 and 500. The second is they are behind. They have been trying to expedite applications under their emergency procedure. They're behind about 3 weeks in applications and getting people serviced because it's just simply too many people. Not good news. The next committee meeting is the 11th of December. And I want to thank Martha for doing the proclamation this evening for home health care. There's a lot more that went on, but in the interest of time, I think we'll end
thank
it there.
You.
All right. Thank you, Frank. Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Dulicki for vice chair.
Oh, shoot.
You've done the resolution.
Want to bring back the sustainability?
What?
I don't think there's a report.
We have a special.
Okay.
We met. I reported the previous legislature.
Right. Okay. All right. Thank you. Capital Plan Review Committee, Mike Lane, chair.
I was going to give you a long discussion about the Wicks law tonight, but I'll leave that for the next meeting. And the reason for that is because now we've fallen into a Wicks law trap. With the old courthouse renovations, where we're going to now have to rebid the project. Instead of having one general contractor, we're going to have to come under the Wicks law provisions, even though construction is less than $500,000, and have, four separate contractors, heating and plumbing and electric and general and all that. So it's going to cost us more money, probably. And it's also going to push back the schedule now for the receiving the bids and approving them by at least a month. So our whole project has been moved back because of that. And I don't think it's anyone's fault. There have been a couple of different interpretations of what the $500,000 equaled. Our architects took the position, and administration took the position, and the committee took the position that the purchase of equipment was not part of the construction project, but New York State says differently. We meet again on the 19th of December at 3:30.
You want to give a brief report on the site visit today?
Yeah, we had one. We had, four people came. Construction is going along very well. They're getting ready to do some floor leveling and put the carpet in within a few days. The ceilings were going in. Painting has been done. I think it's moving along very well. It'll be a nice facility.
Really well. Pam?
Well, I'm sorry to, I would not normally say anything, but I have to say that the whole attitude towards the WICS law and the enforcement of that law, I mean, that is a law, and it was found that, that the interpretation by the architects initially was incorrect, and they may have made that mistake before, maybe they haven't. It was one of those things. But I felt as if you characterize it as if it was just some big pain in the neck. And the fact is that those laws are in place for a reason. And so I would just rather that tone wasn't there, because I don't think that any of us would want to be considered as being not in favor of the building trades, having control over aspects of their job site. And so I would just rather we didn't have that attitude in what we're doing. Or what
glad
we're saying
talk,
anyway.
Glad to talk to you about it sometime.
Okay. I'd be happy to.
All right. Thanks very much, Mike. Government Operations Committee, Julie Kiefer, Chair.
We met on the 9th. Is that right? No. We met on this. Yes, on the 9th. One curiosity. Our procurement of janitorial services for the airport, which was done by an RFP, the State Department of Taxation told us to put a hold on that, cease and desist, because we did not offer it to New York State Industries for the Disabled, which seems to have the right of first refusal, and all they have to do is be within 15% of other responders. We, of course, will not have any responders now to the RFP because we were told not to follow it, so all we can do is compare whatever they tell us with whatever our present costs are. But it's another example of... feels a little like gotcha. The main thing I wanted to tell you about, but I won't do it tonight because I don't want to give it short shrift, is that this was our meeting in which Jay Franklin gave us as much detail as we wanted about all the exemptions that his department administers. There's a big variety of them, and there are documents that I think it would be nice to share with the rest of the legislature, but I'll do that next time.
Okay. Any questions for Julie? Thanks very much. Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee, Will Burbank, Chair.
Thank you, Martha. Got some resolutions, one of which was pulled off the consent agenda. That would be Resolution B. And I would move that. That is, I had that. Authorizing the Federal Transit Administration Section 5309 State of Good Repair Grant for the City of Ithaca, Ithaca Transportation Hub, Accelerating Community Access, Ithaca Project, and I move.
Second by Pat. Julie.
I really appreciate your having made clear that what the two different grants were for.
Right.
But the reason I asked for it to come off is now there's a sentence that doesn't quite read right. And so if I could read line 19 and 20.
Okay.
One, to reconstruct the Ithaca Commons, comma, and one, to construct new public transit facilities, comma, implement real-time passenger information and traffic signal prioritization, comma, and purchase. So you've got a verb in there for the things that aren't really being constructed.
I would accept that as friendly.
Thank you.
Michelle, you got that? Okay. Okay. All right. Friendly to Pat. Okay. Ready to vote on B? All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous.
Thank you. And the second is... Resolution M, authorization to execute agreement to procure electricity. And I so move.
Second by Pat. Julie.
I wanted to ask if in line 11 we could put the location of the entity we're doing business with, Integrated Energy Services of, I don't know what it is, but you can find it out and put it in.
I recall, in Chicago. Is that right, Joe?
Well, that's where the parent company is, but this is actually Integrus Energy Services of New York, and I don't know if they have a New York office or not, so I can't represent it.
So actually, being that specific might be a problem.
Yeah,
that?
We don't really know.
I think your goal, Dooley, is to try to make it clear that it was not local.
Well, we usually give the location of people we're doing business with, So... if it can be found, that would be great. If not, I don't know what to say.
So we could we write it? Is that findoutable, Joe? Is it, could we leave a blank?
I could, not tonight, but I
no, not
I could.
Tonight. Nothing tonight.
If you trust me to fill in the blank, I'll
yeah, so
Clark
so
do that.
Of someplace.
In line 16, I would offer to insert the word nationwide renewable energy credits because, as you read Joe's PowerPoint that was attached, that's where they're from. And in line 20, I asked to add some language. This is from page 40 of Joe's PowerPoint handout. RECs are tradable, as it says, from wind, sun, water, plants, and other renewable sources. And these RECs come from renewable energy projects built after 1997. They're not necessarily new projects, is the point.
Okay.
Is that friendly?
Yeah.
Friendly?
I'm not sure. This doesn't really seem necessary.
Well, do you want to make a motion, Dooley, and we'll vote on it?
I'd move to make that additional information included in the resolution.
Is there a second?
Sure, I'll second it.
All right. All in favor of the amendment, please raise your hand. 3. Opposed?
Is
opposed 10. 3 to 10 fails. All right. We're ready to vote on M.
So, or I would like to speak on it before we
vote. I think that's reasonable. Go ahead.
I appreciate all the research that our county administrator did on this subject. It's not near and dear to his heart initially. But since I'm on the EMC's Energy Committee and we have discussed this in depth, we were unable to come forward with a counterproposal to this, in part because we didn't feel free to bother AREL for information. And we want to be sure to have something to offer the county that's different from this, and I just want to tell you why. Although the EPA... the federal government allows us to buy these RECs and then say, "Hoo-hoo, all our energy comes from green sources." It doesn't mean that we're contributing to the creation of green sources. The EMC Energy Committee would be much happier if we took the equal amount of money.
Peter, could you take that outside?
Peter,
please take that outside. Sorry, Julie, I couldn't hear.
We think it would be much more appropriate to put an equivalent amount of money, $13,000, toward actually making sure that there is some new renewable energy project underway, ideally locally. And we're fully supportive of the solar panel efforts and all of the other things that the county has done. But this doesn't feel like we're contributing to anything other than an existing project's bottom line. So to us, it doesn't feel like we're really contributing to the solution. And so I will have to vote against this for that reason tonight, although I assume it will pass. So it's fine.
Joe,
It's really late. If you've looked at the PowerPoint, you probably know where I'm going to come from. According to the EPA, in doing what we're doing with the renewable energy certificates, we are 100% green.
we would be recognized by the EPA for being 100% green, because the RECs that we buy go to support the generation of wind power in the United States. And when you combine that with the solar panels that we're putting on right now, and the bond that you just passed 2 weeks ago to do more energy conservation, we're doing things that promote conservation, and we're also doing things that promote the generation of green power. When you look at the award winners in the EPA, who they recognize for outstanding performance, they're buying RECs for wind power, they're installing panels on their buildings, and they are investing in conservation, all the things that we're currently doing. So as you consider this, I want you to feel good about the fact that we have made a very strong turn in the direction of green, and we can say the EPA asks, we are now 100% green with your approval of this resolution.
That's definitely true. We just don't agree.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to echo Joe's remarks. At the Planning Committee meeting, Brian Eden came to speak with us. And he was, on behalf of the EMC, indicated that while things are not perfect, he really was endorsing everything that Joe just described after he saw the PowerPoint. There's always places that things can be tweaked, but generally speaking, we are in as good a shape and probably better than one could anticipate. So I just want to make sure that doesn't go unnoticed, that the staff, our staff has done a knockout job in putting this together. So, anyway.
Thank you for pointing that out. And Joe did a wonderful job learning more about RECs probably than you ever had any desire to do, but you really did a good service. I also want to thank Dooley for keeping to push on this. I really applaud what you're reminding us that this is an ongoing process, and we're nowhere close to where we really need to be, and that getting locally generated sources needs to be happening. So, but that being said, I hope you can vote.
Let's vote. Right.
Yes, let's vote. All right, all in favor of the resolution, please raise your hand. Any opposed?
And I ask that my reasons be included in the minutes.
That is 11 to 1. Is that how many we got? 12 to 1. 12 to 1.
You ready for another?
Ready for another.
Okay, let's do resolution N. That's approving issuance of the Tompkins County Developing Corporation of up to $45 million aggregate principal amount tax-exempt revenue bonds, Tompkins Courtland Community College Foundation, Inc., Project Series 2012, and I so move.
Second by Mike. It's only $45 million. We can do that at 10:30 at night. Any questions? All right, ready to vote? All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous.
Is that a roll call?
No, it needs 10.
Okay. And as much as it would be tempting to give you a more complete report, I will pass, other than to say our next meeting will be on December 5th.
All right, thank you. And I forgot to do a couple of appointments with the consent agenda. So if I can get a motion on the following, Library Board of Trustees, Trace Matrano and Christine Altucher, and to the Environmental Management Council, Stephen Bisson. Can I get a motion? Moved by Frank, seconded by Pat. All in favor? Any opposed? Thank you very much. Can I get a motion on the minutes of November 7th, 2012? Moved by Peter, seconded by Pat. Comments, questions? All in favor of the minutes, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's one opposed. Can I get a motion to adjourn? All a joint second. Thank you. We are adjourned. Good job, everybody.